This text from Ephesians is often used on the Feast of Apostles. See, you're not strangers and visitors, sojourners. You're fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. There's one big family in heaven, and we're part of it. And we're part of it because of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has purified us and made us apt to belong forever to that family. And then it starts to talk about who he is. Through him, the whole structure is held together. That's the whole church. Held together through him. There's one church. That's the tragedy of these divisions, right? When are we going to get it back together? You know, when John Paul II was in Germany, in Mainz, and there was a group of theologians, he was addressing a group, a couple of hundred theologians, Lutheran and Catholic, and he said to them, how long are you going to keep us waiting? When are you guys going to get this thing together? You know, we're waiting now 400 years for you to figure out a way to bring us back together, and you've got to do it. Well, they did. They put out a joint statement of Lutherans and Catholics, which is a marvel, and should keep preparing us, and is preparing us, to come back together. The problem is, see, the Anglicans can just all come. They haven't yet, but a lot have, because their bishop comes. Well, the Lutherans who had bishops don't have them anymore, so there's no bishop to bring his flock. That makes it more difficult to bind everybody together again. But there is one reality bound together by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes in concentric circles, the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church. And you know, there's been such great progress. I think I just mentioned that the other day. So much, you know, progress made in unity between ourselves and the Orthodox, which is marvelous. And so there's only one structure, see, and it's held together by the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual reality, this Church of God. And we should pray to have a vision for it and zeal to pray for unity. Then, of course, in the Gospel, we have the famous incident here. Didymus, which means twin. But he wasn't with them that night that Jesus came. So, you heard the story. You know, we've seen the Lord. Yeah, well, maybe that's what you did. You know, I don't know. Unless I can physically get, you know, I won't. Which, as one of the patristic commentators said, well, at least, you know, if we're having problems, if it finally convinced Thomas, we can get over our problems, you see, because he was having problems until he saw the Lord. And put your hand here. Now just think of this. This is the eternal Son of God, the creator of the universe, who has come among us and now has his wounded body to show to us. And Thomas is having problems. And Jesus doesn't say, away with you. He says, come, touch me, feel me. Put your hand here, you know, put your fingers here. Put your hand here. That is the way the Lord loves us. If we have any problems, then go to him. He will extend himself to us because he loves us. And he wanted this man to have no doubts because he's going to go somewhere and preach. And think, you know, we have 2 millennia getting used to the idea. God became man. He was tortured and crucified. And he rose again and has given us eternal life. That's a tough message. to go and tell somebody. But now, even those non-Christians know what we hold, and they're more accustomed to the idea. But can you imagine in the first century, preaching that, and the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives, to let them yield to that truth? And that's what this... And so Thomas finally says, and then there was the... Well, in a way, the last beatitude of the Gospels, huh? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. That's us. That's us. The Lord is declaring us blessed. That means we believe. Now, there was a Benedictine monk. His name was Augustine Baker in the 16th century. He's got a beautiful book called Holy Wisdom, or some title close to that. And he said, you know, when you want to grow in faith, the way you do it is you make acts of faith. When you're driving in the car, Almighty God, I believe that you are one God and three persons, and I worship and adore you. I believe that Jesus is your only begotten Son, and you go through and make up your own act of faith. And that's how we grow in faith. Huh? If you want to get muscles, you go to the gym and work out, which is a good idea. But if you want to grow in faith, you make acts of faith. And that does bring you closer to the Lord. But we have a great model here, Jesus, to be that condescending, to be that anxious to win him over, and see what we can do to imitate that.